This is episode 280 of Jumblethink.
3 minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Jumblethink, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about their journey of turning dreams and ideas into reality. Along the way, we're going to share some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality, too. Our guest on today's show is Karat Anand. More about Karat in a moment. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, if you haven't subscribed to Jumblethink, you should do it right now. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and now even Pandora. So head on over, search for Jumblethink, and click that subscribe button. Now let's jump into today's show. Welcome to Jumblethink. My name is Michael Woodward. I am your host. We have a great show lined up for you today. Today's show is sponsored by our friend over at Penji. Penji is your source for unlimited graphic design at a low monthly rate. That's right, unlimited graphic design on a subscription basis. You can get as much as you want, whenever you want. It's awesome. And as a listener of Jumblethink, they're doing something pretty cool. They're going to give you 15% off your first month. All you have to do is head on over to Penji, PENJI.co, and use that code Jumble, and you're going to get 15% off your first month. I am super excited about today's interview. It was recorded live at Podcast Row, hosted by Stand Up New York on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. If you are an entrepreneur and you're looking to get some exposure, this is the event for you. It gets you connected right in front of some of the leading podcasters in the business space. To learn more, all you have to do is head on over to podcast-row.com and check out what they are doing. Well, I am super excited about today's conversation. It is with Karat Anand, who is the founder and CEO of KAS New York, a B2B lifestyle women's wear brand. Prior to selling the business, he led a team of over 200 employees, coordinating multiple offices in different countries and overseeing various departments, which included GTM strategy, customer acquisition, product innovation and design, digital marketing, business development, supply chain management, logistics, and finance. He currently serves on a bunch of different boards and councils for things like NYU's Leonard Stern School of Business's Fashion and Luxury MBA Council, Virgin Innovation Lab, Stern Venture Fellows, WR Berkeley Innovation Labs, NUMA New York, and Marisi Take Her Back. Prior to being an entrepreneur, he was an investment banker at JP Morgan in the leveraged finance group focused on technology, media, and telecom. Karat graduated from NYU Leonard Stern School of Business with a double major in finance and information systems, where he was a walk-on for the university baseball team. It's a fun conversation. You're going to want to stay tuned through that whole thing. So let's go ahead and join our conversation with today's guest, Karat Anand. We are here with Karat Anand, and super excited to have you on. Thanks for taking time out to be with us.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me.
You have a crazy story.
Yeah, I think I have a very atypical background. I would agree with that.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that background.
So first generation, born to Indian immigrants. My father's a textile engineer. Mother's a designer.
Wow.
My upbringing wasn't baseball camp and tennis camps. I like to joke, my brother and I are 12 years apart, same family, but we have very different backgrounds. My summer vacations and winter vacations were traveling around sourcing and seamstresses and factories, and it wasn't your typical third grader vacation, going to Bangladesh or India in 120 degrees and watching like pattern makers.
Yeah.
But I guess that planted a seed for two things. One, to be an entrepreneur, to sort of build, to own, to have that product innovation and then creation and then launch it. And then two, on the design element. So I guess on the other side of my brain, to be more creative and to be artistic and then to have a point of view.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Then how in the world?
Yeah.
Do you grow up in that kind of space to become a banker?
Yeah, because my parents told me, whatever you do, you never get into fashion.
Oh, okay. They're like, bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, it was a typical Indian parent, right? You had to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a banker. Yeah. Those are like three choices. So I took the one with the least amount of education and the highest ROI.
Yeah.
So it was easy for me to figure that out. And unfortunately, when I was graduating from Stern, I got recruited by a bunch of firms. And I was like, okay, consultant at McKinsey, probably not. Investment banker at JP Morgan. Yeah, that sounds really good. And working 100 hours a week, being paid less than minimum wage. Sign me up.
They got to teach you a little bit better there on decision making at Stern.
Yeah, I mean, they must have, I don't know how they sold me, but they sold me on it really early. So it was easy. No, but I mean, look, the few years that I spent at JP Morgan or investment banking, I think it laid the foundation,
right.
Attention. You know, the devil is in the details.
Yeah.
Learning that attention to detail, the ability to laser focus, bring diversity of thought to industry leaders who've been building their company or managing thousands of employees and coming in on a 2-week engagement and helping them either lever up their company or take their company through the debt markets. I was focusing leverage finance there in the TMT space, which is telecom, media, and technology.
A lot of debt in those spaces right now.
Yeah, a lot of debt. But you know, but a lot of great learnings and a lot of best practices and a lot of sort of confident moments, right? Ability for me to learn how to communicate, ability for me to, I guess, just absorb and help myself. I was always confident, but it gave me the ability to be confident in a corporate setting, right? Versus a personal setting.
That wasn't the end of your story, obviously.
No.
So why do you leave banking?
So it's a great question. You know, when you're there and you sort of, before you buy in, I feel like the greatest, they're probably one of the best marketers in the world because it's so funny because it's like, it's one of those prisons. Everyone on the inside is looking to break out and everyone on the outside thinks it's so great inside. I mean, I just don't understand how they've sold that story and it goes on for years. But look, the guys who have been bankers their entire life, my hat goes off to them. But I just knew it wasn't for me. I've had stories where my SVP on my deal on a Saturday night wasn't at the hospital to watch his firstborn because he was working on a pitch with me and I needed to call the MD on the project and say, please let so-and-so leave. I've had, MDs, and it looks really nice because I've got the photos of the family on the yacht and behind them, but tell me horror stories of what it took for them to get there. And it's just, look, it's not about, look, I don't think anyone works harder at their trait than founders and entrepreneurs. And it's not about the level of commitment, but it's also about you're working so hard on something for what, and then you're detached, then you're thrown into something else, then what's it? So for me, it wasn't my building story, right? Yeah. For me, it wasn't my product story. It wasn't bringing me closer to anything. It was a great catapult to learn skills, but I wasn't, there wasn't that sense of ownership or responsibility or entitlement, I think.
Well, it sounds like you came to a point where you said, this doesn't align with my values of what's significant to me.
Did you know me then?
No.
Okay. It's spot on.
Okay. Yeah. So you make this decision like, hey, I'm out.
Yeah.
This is done. I can't do this anymore. What was the thought process? What were you going through to say, hey, I'm out, but what next? I mean, you've spent so much time building towards this.
Yeah, you know, and it's sometimes daunting. It can be really challenging, but I think that recreation, that transformation, and it wasn't leaving banking to go into work for a hedge fund or a PE, because it's just the same thing. You get out of the pot to get into the frying pan. And for me, it was like, okay, what can I do next?
Yeah.
Can I do this? Is it something I've been always passionate about? Can I actually launch a company? Can I create a brand? Can we be a household name? So these are thoughts that occur to you. And I think it's, everything, Rome wasn't built in a day. The building blocks, you have to set up your long-term goal, but then micro successes take you there. It's like one slow step, right? And I think for me, it was like understanding the retail market, understanding the consumer at the time, figuring out, this is before digitally native brands were launching on Instagram. There was no Instagram. this is, I'm talking early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
The retail space was very different. Zara was in its infancy phases, disrupting a lot of department stores. A lot of stores that were existed then have consolidated, and you know, Amazon wasn't even playing in this market,
right?
I mean, the company that has been unfortunately, I guess, labeled as the creator of this retail apocalypse, but it's not just Amazon. It's innovation, it's disruption, it's entrepreneurs creating fun things like Stitch Fix or Rent the Runway or RealReal, or it doesn't even have to be at that level. It could be smaller digitally native brands, right, that have now used social media to their advantage to connect with consumers.
Yeah, I just recorded an episode last night, and one of the questions that I was answering was, why should big corporations think like startups?
Yeah.
And it really comes back to the retail space is just the repeat of the newspaper space or publishing, in that here are organizations that have said, we've staked our claim, we've put our flag on our hill, and we're not going to innovate. We've always done it this way, so it's going to work this way. And retail learned pretty quickly, just as newspapers did and just as other industries have, that you have to evolve to what your audience wants. You can't stay stagnant and just say, we've always been here, so we will always be here.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, people say big companies are not innovative.
Yeah.
I find that to be factually incorrect.
Yeah.
I mean, I think big companies are very innovative.
Yeah.
There's a stat that Google actually has over 60% of AI, ML engineers on their team. The thing is, big companies are a little bit slow in implementing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as in, you're right, absolutely. They might know what their future is, but they're so stuck in the way that they're doing things that even if they wanted to change and innovate and had a desire to implement, it would take them so long to move.
Right.
So when I was launching the brand, for example, that was my biggest pitch point to companies.
The brand, by the way, being KAS New York.
KAS New York, yeah.
Yeah, make sure we mention that.
Thank you. One of my biggest, you know, I guess, tools for success was going in, telling them, look, I understand your pain points, here are the solutions, and no one will get you there faster than us and at a better price. So for me, it was like, great, I wasn't going to come in and say, I'm going to be more innovative than this designer or that vendor. I'm not trying to, you know, be better than anyone else. I just want to be the best that we can be. And I can understand your problem, and my solution solves your problem.
Yeah.
And I'm solving it with speed and price. Those are the two offerings I have.
And I think that's what most consumers really want answered. Will you solve my pain?
Yeah.
In the web space, I could almost close. We had a really high close rate. We answered one question for them, not what framework we were going to use, what code base we were going to use. We just came in and said, we can solve your problem, and it's going to be easy and painless for you to do that. And they were like, sign us up, because everyone else is pitching a platform. We're pitching solving their pain.
You know what? Sometimes it's so funny. Just listening to your customer. If you just listen to your customer, I mean, it sounds like the most basic thing, but if you just listen to your customer, you'll be amazed of what you can learn and how much value you can give them. I would never come into a presentation saying, this is my collection and hang up my 40 pieces and say, you have to buy this because of this. I would sit down with them. I would talk to them. And I guess it really helped me doing business in multiple cultures and across different countries.
Yeah.
It's funny, we would have meetings in Japan, and for 2 hours, we would just talk about family and world and this and that. In the last 2 minutes, I'd be like, great, this is what we want to do, this is not what we want to do, and we're out of here.
Yeah.
And over here, it's the exact opposite, right?
Yeah.
So you have to play to each culture. You have to play to your audience. You have to understand who they are. And I would always take time to understand my customer. And then I would say, you know what? Well, maybe if I was going to show you this, I'm not going to show you this anymore, because that's not what I heard her problem was.
Yeah.
He told me his problem was this. So I would change my answer to fit their solution, right?
Yeah. We skipped ahead in the story a little bit.
Sorry,
that's fine. That was my fault.
Okay.
I want to back up a little bit. So why did you choose to make a fashion business? And to define this, because some people aren't going to be familiar with the brand, it's KAS New York. You have founded it, you grew it, and you've exited it now too. So you've gone the full cycle of what a traditional startup would do through that growth cycle and exit.
So the baby's off to college now, and it's all right, so to speak. So, jokes apart, I think the reason why, getting back to my original, your first question, I think it was very organic for me to get into this sort of industry from based off my exposure as a child. Being the son of a designer and a textile engineer, my mother and father respectfully, and I think I have to give them a lot of credit for sort of educating me in the space and nurturing and mentoring me in the space. It's funny, you know, I always say this, my wife is a tech founder and she runs a great company called Open Sponsorship, and I think the tech community amongst entrepreneurs is so helpful. You know, if somebody invests in my company, I'm going to turn around and say, hey, Michael, I got a great lead investor. Let me introduce you to them. Or if I have an advisor on my, and that's how I've gotten a lot of my advisory positions, is other advisors have recommended me to tech founders. That's how I've gotten the ability to be an angel investor, where other investors have said, hey, Kirat, I found a great team with a great CEO. Why don't you invest in them too? I just cut them a check. In fashion, it doesn't work that way. It's the one industry that I found where if one designer or vendor gets an order, they don't turn to the buyer and say, hey, why don't you go buy from my neighbor? They're doing great dresses as well. It just doesn't work that way. You don't share sources. You don't share buyers. You don't share either side of your marketplace. It's a very closed community, and it's actually sad about that. So I think now that I had the ability to see the tech and participate in such a big way with tech startups, I think I'm giving back a lot with either fashion or retail startups. And for me, you know, getting back to your question, it was more so my parents that kind of mentored me into this industry. And when I found the sort of missing link, because remember, this is again mid-2000s. Fast fashion wasn't a big thing, and for some of your listeners that might not know fast fashion, fast fashions are the Zaras and the H&Ms of the world that have really disrupted the space prior to Amazon, and really hurt the department stores. I think that was their point of view. That was their sort of competitive advantage. They were providing trend at a very, very affordable price, at a low buy-in. And for me, it was like, okay, great, they're doing this, but why can't this be done at an elevated quality level? So elevate the quality and create actually a little bit more detailing, where you're creating detailing from couture runways pieces, add that to that sort of trendy fashion, elevate the price point, and then find that sort of white space. And that's that white space that I thought existed. And we were kind of right. Look, I mean, we ran the company for over a decade and sold across the world. And it could have been swim in Latin America, caftans in the Middle East, tunics in Japan, or our whole entire collection in the States. It all worked out.
Before we close out this first segment, I want to know, how do you find passion in what you do?
That's a great question. So I think for me, it has to be organic, especially it has to have the voice inside of you. And I think that's sort of what led me to, when you said you ran the full gamut, kind of, I think my passion for this had sort of flamed out. So it was sort of, I think I can't tell you to be passionate about something. And the role you're in today, if you've been in it for 10 years or 10 weeks, doesn't mean you're passionate about it. I think everyone, when you're being honest with yourself, what are you reading about? If you're picking up a book, if you're opening up an article, if you're listening to a podcast, or just a little 5 minute clip while you wait for your Starbucks in the morning on YouTube, what are you looking at? What interests you? You know what you're passionate about. So why aren't you working towards that?
Yeah, I agree completely. I always say, if, you know, we're client focused, and if I can't love my client well, then I've either picked a poor client or it's time for me to move on, you know? And so I can completely relate to that. We're going to take a break right here, and in a moment, we are going to be back with Kirat. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you've been saying it great.
Oh, okay, cool.
All day.
I you know, it's one of those ones that I'm just like, it's not a normal in my dictionary, so I'm learning.
Well, hopefully after this, it will be.
It will be.
There you go.
Well, we're going to be back to talk more about the future and learn some lessons along the way from KAS New York and what you learned along that journey. Today's show is sponsored by our friends over at Penji. Penji is your source for unlimited graphic design at a low monthly subscription rate. What that means is you can get as many projects designed as you want every month, from a new logo to a flyer to even a new layout for your website, they can help you. And it's easy. You go onto their online platform, you write up some specs for the project, you tell them what colors you want, and maybe some inspiration points. They start working and send you back a design super quick. Then you work and send back for revisions, and at the end of the process, you have the perfect design for your needs. And they can help anyone, from a small business to a big corporation to a new startup, even marketing teams. They can get you the right designs when you want them, how you want them, and within the budget you have. Super cool company. And as a listener of JumbleThink, they are offering you something amazing. They're going to give you 15% off your first month. All you have to do is head on over to Penji, PENJI.co, and use that code Jumble, JUMBLE. So head on over, Penji.co, use that code Jumble, get 15% off your first month, and start getting the design you want for your next project. I hope you're enjoying today's show. I know I'm enjoying the conversation with Kinrat Anand. We're going to get back into that conversation in a moment. Before we do that, I want to ask you a favor. If you're enjoying today's conversation, could you share it? Could you share this episode with a friend, a coworker, a family member, or even on your social media channels? It would help us get the word out. We believe that there are so many people created for amazing things, that they have dreams and ideas inside of them. And somehow, for some reason, they never chase them. We'd like to change that. And by sharing stories of people who have done it, who have chased those dreams and ideas, we get the word out that people are created for amazing things and that they can change the world. So if you would take a moment today and share our show, share this episode with that person you know who's always talking about the dreams, the ideas that they have, but never making it a reality, share it with them. Challenge them to start the journey of turning their dreams and ideas into reality. It would mean the world to us if you'd help us out. So thank you so much for sharing our show in today's episode with that person or those people that you think of. Now let's continue today's conversation with our guest, Kinrat Anand. We are back, and before we get going, how can people connect with you?
So you can follow me on Twitter, Kinrat S. Anand. You can shoot me an email, Kinrat Anand, or at Gmail, or just add me on LinkedIn. Yeah, happy to, if you're a founder, or if there's some, or even if you're not a startup or a tech founder, if you're just going through some transformation or thoughts about how to change your career, change your industry, happy to sit down and see if I could help.
And we'll have all those links in the episode notes. So wherever you're listening or at jumblethink.com, you can check out that. And we make it easy. You just click and it takes you where you want to go. It's magic, this internet thing. I love the fact that a lot of the startup founders we talk to are ones that are still in the business, or they've gone through several iterations of being in business, and they're kind of set with where they are today. And so, you know, the conversation going back is a little different.
Yeah,
because they're wanting to promote or talk to a specific thing that they're passionate about in the moment. For you, you kind of are in a transition season, so you're not yet where you're going, and you're definitely not where you've been.
Yeah, I'm a free agent.
You're a free agent.
So I don't have to love either team right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want you to look back for a few minutes and share some lessons from your journey where you stepped into it and you went, you know, I thought I had a good picture of it. I grew up around the fashion world because of my parents. And so I figured, and I worked in the banking world and investment banking. And so I thought I had it figured out. And maybe you went, not what I thought.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of failures along the way. One thing I had to learn real quickly was to be customer-centric, put our customer first.
Yeah.
You know, we really quickly went from a B2B brand to B2B2C, where we were...
So talk to us about that transition, because you're building fashion. So why would you be B2B versus B2C?
Yeah, so when we launched the brand... There was no Instagram. Facebook wasn't a channel.
What year was that?
2008, 2007. Okay. So 2007, sorry.
Right. About a year before the recession.
Yeah, exactly. So
yay, started business right before crash.
Yeah, it was a perfect timing on my part, yeah. Great, we've just built this amazing supply chain, 200 plus employees, and now we're gonna what? I think the learning was real quick about customer first and empowering the team. I think that was really important. There's a way to manage and coach a team. And I think what I've learned is you get more honey with, what's the saying, right? You get more honey with, I think,
kindness. Yeah, and, I think it's what it is.
So, it's sort of also like if I needed a project turned, instead of demanding it or requiring it, I would empower the team and say, hey, guys, this is what we need. Do you think you can deliver it? Would you want to deliver this? Can we get it done? Versus, hey, guys, this project has to get done tonight.
Yeah.
And I need it on my desk tomorrow.
Yeah. Right?
So there's ways of, I guess, coaching and empowering and giving people responsibilities and encouraging. And I guess that sense of responsibility and ownership translates. Back to our first learning about customers, like right away you talked about B2B, and I said we were B2B2C real quick. And what I meant by that is we had the end consumer in mind, right?
Yeah.
If I could always talk to you, but always talk about not what I'm selling you, but talk about what you're selling.
Right.
I'm right away focused on your needs and your consumer. And when I designed the collection or when I created the collection, which means manufactured the collection or delivered it, right? Or even then post-sale, followed up with you. It was all about your consumer and her concerns at the end. Mm. And having her as our focal point, our North Star, sort of really helped us, educated us quick. So there are best practices that we picked up, that we moved, we implemented. We had showrooms in LA, New York, Dallas. We did shows and all over the country, Paris. We did the swim show in Miami. So New York, of course, Fashion Week. So for us, it was about taking best practices, taking solutions and implementing them in different departments in different regions.
Wow. Wow. What's the one thing that you found is the biggest struggle that you had to overcome in that journey of what you built there?
Yeah, I think the biggest struggle wasn't more so with us as a brand, it was with the industry.
Okay.
It's a very unsticky industry.
Okay.
Right? If you break your iPhone today, it's a shame, right? I feel bad, but chances are you're going to go and buy an iPhone again.
Yeah.
You're not going to now say, you know what, my screen cracked. That's it. I'm going to Google or I'm going to Samsung. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's a very sticky industry.
Yeah.
With clothing, especially women's clothing, especially fashion, especially, it's not a basic item. When you're talking about intimates and basics, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about fashion, she can wear a dress today and tomorrow, you know what? She's on her way to work or she's talking to a girlfriend or she sees something on Instagram. She's voted elsewhere.
Yeah.
So for us, I guess, to answer your question, the one main challenge that we had was how unsticky the business was.
Wow.
And that was something that kept it constantly challenging because you really needed to be at the forefront every season, every collection. I used to have 8 collections a year and 50 SKUs a collection. So about 400 different product innovations a year we used to come out with.
Yeah. Wow. You are in a new journey.
Yes.
You have exited that business, sold it, and now you're on to new things. What's that transition like for you right now?
Yeah, so for me, it's very exciting because it gives me an opportunity to recreate myself. It gives me an opportunity to apply what I've learned, how I've grown, and my learnings and best practices to new sort of, new industry, new company. And for me, I'm thinking about getting back into corporate, into a bigger, in a bigger capacity.
You going back to be a banker?
No, I'm not going back to be a banker. We have the banker stories and I think it was great and it was super important to me.
Yeah.
JP Morgan's a great company, but no, I'm not going back to be a banker. But I think it's more so about doing what I've always done.
Yeah.
Which is empowering a team, connecting dots, I mean, analyzing, strategizing products, understanding how to go to market, acquire customers, acquisitions, either users or whatever, but doing it on a larger scale.
Mm.
For me, I'd like to say we grew our village to 200 people and we had to do everything, but that's as big as we got.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that and like to do what we did for a much bigger size, scale, and scope so we can actually affect more people and be a little bit more meaningful.
Do you have an industry in mind?
Yeah, so I think the, I'm actually more excited about my, I shouldn't say more, look, I've got, I think, two lives.
Okay.
I've got a TMT, telecom media and technology, telecom media and technology life, and then I've got my retail fashion and luxury life.
Yeah.
I love both lives.
Yeah.
So if it's from my former life or my current life, I think it's going to be in that vein. I don't see myself getting into healthcare, for example. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's a sticky space to be in it right now. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So I wouldn't wish that upon anyone.
Yeah.
I love that you have been willing to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
Most people shy away from taking the risks that really make life amazing. They go, hey, you know, I've always known this job. I've always done this job. It doesn't fulfill me. I hate being here. Sometimes I don't like the people around me. And they get stuck there. And maybe it's a fear, maybe it's an obstacle, maybe it's just simply being comfortable in the status quo. What would you say to them about the life that they could have versus the life they're living?
You know, sometimes, look, I've just taken the jump.
Yeah.
But I'm a guy that jumps a lot, right? I mean, as you can probably tell from my past, and I think I've logically thought about it. Yeah. I've kind of weighed things, but I'm also a risk taker.
Yeah.
And I think so it all depends on your adversity to risk, right? So for me, I feel like I'm only going to live once and I'm going to do what I feel is meaningful and fulfilling, right? And if it was wanting to be an investment banker and saying I could do that, or if it was wanting to start a brand and trying to conquer that, and now it's maybe trying to empower others or maybe be a strategist or a chief of staff or something for a Fortune 100 company, I'm going to try that. For me, the only advice I could give is, look, I'm blessed. I think taking these jumps has put me in the position where I am today. Many people like to take an easier route, and sometimes it's a safer route, which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary. It's daunting to be here. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's all dark around you. So, but you know what? But you know, it's always darkest. What do they say? Right.
Right before dawn.
So, yeah. I think, yeah, so I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a new horizon will be right around the corner. Yeah.
We're going to pause right here. And in a moment, we're going to be back for rapid fire questions.
Great.
Season 4 of JumbleThink is right around the corner, and I don't want you to miss a thing. Why? We are getting back to the basics of the story of ideas. And we're talking to leading dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about that journey of turning their dreams and ideas into reality. We're talking to leading actors, musicians, we're talking to authors and Olympians all about that journey of how they turn their passions into something amazing. You're not going to want to miss season 4. So how do you stay in the loop? Head on over to jumblethink.com and sign up for our newsletter. That way, you're the first to know about new episodes, upcoming guests, and even some really cool things we have planned for 2020. So head on over, jumblethink.com, sign up for that newsletter, and stay in the loop. Now let's rejoin our conversation for rapid fire questions with today's guest, Karat Anand.
Placez votre électrophone à portée de votre main. Levez seulement le bras pour mettre l'aiguille sur le disque. Mettez le contact, reposez votre bras et attendez. Restez calme.
We are back with Karat, and I always say it, and then I'm like, did I say it right?
Oh, you said it right every time.
I'll edit that later, right? We're going to do rapid fire questions.
My favorite.
All right. What's one book you think every dreamer or entrepreneur should read?
Ooh, that's a really good question. So my favorite book this year is Bad Blood,
okay.
The Theranos book.
Yeah.
Definitely not the book for every entrepreneur to read. I like, what got you here won't get you there.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, again, back to the transformation story, so yeah. that was meaningful for me. I think helps you understand the journey you were on, helps you understand those skill sets got you somewhere, and now you need to sort of reinvent yourself and learn new traits to get elsewhere.
What's one trend that currently excites you?
Ooh, one trend in yeah. the market? I mean, I'm a big fan of all the OTT, what's going on. I think it's the way people are consumption today.
OTT as in over the top. Apple yeah. TVs, your Rokus, those kind of devices and content.
Disney
delivery.
Plus, yes. yeah, Hulu, okay. ESPN Plus. So I think that the way we're consuming things in terms of just whether it be, again, OTT or even fashion, my old space today, we're not, you know, she or he is not buying things as much as they're renting things, right? Okay. So, I mean, so just the way that the consumer is thinking about things in terms of consumption from either a media or fashion or technology viewpoint, I think consumption and its role in innovation and technology is really exciting.
What's one thing you wish you would have known when you first started out?
Ooh. One thing I would have known is every buyer's phone number, name, and email. That would have been life. Life would have made so much easier if I just had that magic book with everybody's contact. Yeah. There was no LinkedIn when I started, by the way.
That's true,
was a big difference then. Yeah. I want you to know that. Yeah.
How old are you?
40.
Wow, you look great.
Yeah, thanks.
I wish I looked that good. I'm 38. So,
people listening on the podcast, he's being really nice. I don't look that great.
If you were to look at your life and say, what's one habit that's really been fundamental in your success, what would you think that is?
Yeah, my wife might say it's stubbornness, yeah. but I think for me, it's just my will to win, my drive. It's just whatever it is, whatever I've done. I mean, there's a switch. Either I'm in or I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not half in. So if I'm committed, working, passionate, and that goes with my friendships, my professional career, I'm very committed. Yeah.
Where do you find inspiration?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like one of your first questions you asked about in the first segment about passion. I think yeah. it comes organically. It comes from within. My inspiration today is understanding the way the consumers are consuming things, right, through innovation and technology, the way that things are being changed. Whereas yesterday was, how is she thinking about fashion and what yeah. is she consuming via fashion? So I think that can change. I think that can evolve. There's nothing wrong in having different interests. I mean, what you were interested in 10 years ago, you don't need to stick with it. That's shouldn't right. have to define you today.
Yeah.
Look at Kobe Bryant, right? His inspiration, his passion was NBA championships. He got 5 of those, and then he turned it really quick to media and storytelling, and then he got an Academy Award. So I think having that Mamba mentality, like he likes to say, really, really resonates with me, having that drive and passion. So for me, my inspiration just comes organically from, I guess, from within.
Our final rapid fire question.
Oh.
What is one dream you're still wanting to fulfill in your own life?
Okay, so I just started surfing this summer, so this might be like really, because it's just so top of mind and current, and I'm going, every week surfing. So I went out to Lisbon. I learned surfing this summer, beginning of the summer, and we've just been surfing basically all summer. And for me, I probably want to, I kind of envision myself riding the inside of that barrel. So, okay. And I think about business the way I think about surfing too. It's like
yeah.
being the ability to see the wave coming, being able to figure out what the wave is, see the swell, and then ride it in if it's right or wrong.
Can I ask a personal question?
Yeah, please.
So when you surf,
yeah.
turban on or turban off?
Turban off.
Okay.
All sports turban off.
All right.
Yeah.
All
I mean, right. that would be amazing if I surfed turban on.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
I'm not one for Instagram or social media in terms of putting myself out there, yeah. but that would have been an Instagrammable moment. Yes.
As we wrap up today's show, what's a final thought you want to leave all of us with?
Look, I think, I think we touched upon it throughout the segment. It's about recreating yourself. I think you have a lot of listeners that are of that age where they've been doing something for some time and they're yeah. concerned about, can I make the switch? And how do I make the switch? Yeah. And, maybe I was blessed enough to exit, one really lucrative employment and then get into entrepreneurialism and then exit my brand. And maybe other people aren't as blessed. They've got certain requirements. What I would say is, look, in your spare time, everyone's got spare time. Don't make excuses. Even when I was banking, I had spare time.
Yeah.
Right? Figure out a way to get yourself one micro step closer to your goal.
Yeah.
Whatever that goal is, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a basketball player and you want to be a storyteller, like we just said, like figure out one way to get yourself closer to that goal.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. So pick up that sort of side hustle.
Yep.
And think about the final objective. And then what are the steps, the micro steps, the hacks that'll get you there? And then eventually when you're there, then you could turn it on and go there full time.
Kirat, thank you so much for taking time out, sharing your story, and being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
In a moment, we'll be back for some final thoughts on today's conversation with Kirat Anand.
Un rempart contre la fatigue, la dépression, l'énervement, et tout ce qui caractérise les temps modernes.
It has been so fun having Kirat Anand on the show with us today. We want to thank Podcast Row, hosted by Stand Up New York, for hosting today's conversation. I know I really enjoyed it. I hope that it has impacted you too. Last couple of weeks, been trying something new, and it is a recap at the end of the conversation. I was talking to one of our listeners, and he was saying how much he loves this. I'd love to hear what you think, too. Drop us a note on one of our social media channels, or send me an email, hello@jumblethink.com. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on these recaps. Because we've been hearing some great things about them, we're going to continue doing it until we hear people say, hey, stop doing them. For today's show, I have four takeaways. These are things that hit me throughout the episode. I hope that they encourage you too. Number one, you got to take stock of how you feel about where you're at. In the episode, Kirat tells us about how he was in investment banking and how he's like, this is not the lifestyle I want. So often we buy into, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or I'm making a lot of money, I'm working hard, and we don't really take stock of what we are feeling or thinking about where we're at. Or we suppress it because we don't want to buck the status quo, what we're told we should expect or do. Now, what we learned from Kirat is that it is a harder journey to say, you know what, I'm going to check out of a life that's not fulfilling or that I don't want, or it's building a lifestyle I don't want for my family or for myself. And he took a leap into the unknown to create a new space that brought fulfillment, brought joy. And the big takeaway is that we have to take time in our lives to step away from what we're doing and the constant flow of things to really reassess. How do I feel about this? Is it working? Is it not working? And we have to process that if we're going to step into fully what we're created to do. So that's big takeaway number one for me. Big takeaway number two was, don't be afraid of your roots. In this episode, Kirat had told us about how as a child he grew up and he went to all these different places learning about the world of fashion, the world of making fashion, the world of his parents. And often we are ashamed of our roots, and because of that, we don't want to look back. Maybe it's too painful, or maybe it's something that we think we're above. And we don't look back to where we came from where we came so that we can set ourselves up for a new future. I love the fact that even though it was something that he had left because his parents had said, hey, don't do this, he was able to willing to go back and look at it and say, maybe there is a new path here for me. Maybe there is a different way I can go and take this in and elevate it from what I experienced as a child, take what I love from it, and make it into a business. Which leads us to point number three, which is don't be afraid of what others tell you you shouldn't do. In this case, Kirat had looked at it and said, you know what? My parents said, don't get into this industry. And they said it for good reason. They said because of how hard it was, because of the time and energy. And yet he was able to look back and say, you know what? I loved certain aspects of this, and I want to bring that into the current age and reinvent this space to do better, but go back to my roots. And even though his parents had said, this is a space that you need to stay away from, he was willing to say, you know what? Maybe it's a place I want to go. And he remembered what he loved about that environment. And he went back to it and reinvented and built a business that he was proud of. In the final recap, that for me, the point that stood out was the willingness to pivot when things are or aren't working. You need to pivot for two reasons. One, it's not working. And that's what we take away from Kurat's experience with the financial banking space. It wasn't working for him anymore. It's time to pivot. It's time to get out. It's time to say, you know what? I'm done. But then on the flip side, when he was in the fashion space building his business, he saw a place where it had grown and was successful. And he could have stayed there and said, you know what? I'm going to keep on going. And yet he chose to pivot there because he knew that the passion was gone. Even though things were working in that space, he knew it was time to move on. We often stay too long in places that we should have moved past. Maybe it's out of fear. Maybe it's out of obligation. Maybe it's out of the enjoyment of it, but knowing it's not the best for us. And we buy into a lie that what we have is all we get. I love that in this episode we can learn it's okay to pivot even when things are good. And it's definitely okay to pivot when things aren't working. Most of the time, we forget that we have the choice of what we want to do in the future. It reminds me of my business coach years ago saying to me, Michael, what do you want to do? And I felt trapped by the thing I had built. The thing that brought me a lot of freedom now was a trap. And I think back to our last house and how what was a blessing in one season, a big farmhouse on a massive farm was awesome and a huge blessing, became a curse in another season. It's in these moments that we need to really assess what's going on and be willing to pivot to a new future, a new way of doing things. When we don't, we get trapped in patterns that aren't healthy. We get trapped in places that we shouldn't be anymore, and we have to be willing to pivot. I think it can all be boiled down to one thing. All of these four takeaways to a simple thing. Being aware of where you're at today. Being aware of what's impacting you. Why you're thinking the way you're thinking. Why you're experiencing the things you're experiencing. Many of us put our lives on autopilot. We get into a routine. We get into a ritual. We get into a rhythm in which we actually are trapped because we aren't being aware of what's happening. My challenge for you today, a very simple challenge, is this. Be aware of where you're at. That's the big takeaway. How are things going for you? Do you feel fulfilled and filled with excitement for the future? Or maybe you feel trapped and you're just not being honest with yourself. You feel overwhelmed. You feel fear-filled or uncontent in your current situation. Wherever you're at, bringing that awareness of what's happening back to the forefront forces you to assess what's going on. It forces you to be real with how you're feeling, how you're thinking, how you're experiencing life. Awareness makes you aware of the people around you, your family, your friends. How are your decisions impacting them? Being aware makes you reflect on your current status, your current emotions. There are many reasons why we may not want to be aware, why we go on autopilot. But it's in that place of being purposeful about the life we're creating that we can begin to create the life we're created to live. You know that's the heartbeat of Jumbo Think, that we believe everyone is created for something incredible that is unique to them. It may seem small for some people. It may seem huge for other people, but it matters and it's significant and you need to live in that place. The only way you get there, though, is by being aware of what's going on in your life. How are you feeling? How are you thinking? What is it that you are processing? We're afraid of it because it means that we have to be real. We have to quiet ourselves. We have to hear the inner voice that often guides us to the places of fulfillment. In season, I think it was one, we had two brothers on, and they said there was this loud voice that led them to the party life, that led them to big money, and it seemed like it was everything that they wanted. But it was only when they quieted the loud voice and found the quiet voice that they were led into the purpose, the dreams and the destinies that they were born to live. Being aware requires you to be quiet, to listen to what's going on so that you can push yourself into the fullness of your created purpose. So that's my challenge for you today. Get to a place of awareness in your own life so that you can really know where you're at today, where you can assess fairly, that you can choose to not be afraid of the places you've come from, that you can choose to not listen to the voices that deter you from your purpose and your destiny, and so that you can rewrite and pivot into the future you were created to live. I'd love to hear what you think. What are your big takeaways from today's episode? What are your thoughts on the conversation? And ultimately, I hope it's encouraged you on the journey of chasing big ideas and dreams. Well, that does it for today's show. We want to take a moment and thank Karat Anand for taking time out to be on the show with us. Go check out what he's doing. Connect up with him. Twitter's the best place. You can find that link in our episode notes. We also want to thank our friends over at Podcast Row for hosting the conversation today at Stand Up New York. Super fun. Go check them out, podcast-row.com. We also want to thank our friends over at Penji, your source for unlimited graphic design at one low monthly rate. They're awesome. You're awesome. You should connect with them and get the perfect designs for you. Head on over, penji.co. Use that code JUMBLE to get 15% off your first month. And finally, we want to thank you for listening. It means the world to us that you would tune in to today's show. And I hope it's encouraged you and reminded you that you are created for something awesome. We believe that the dreams and ideas you have matter, that you are significant. But it's up to you. Only you can choose to step into a different path, a path into the dreams and ideas you were created to live. So, today, take a step, a small step, a big step, but any step to chase those dreams and ideas inside of you. Now it's your turn. Dream big and change the world around you. Étirez-vous doucement, mais complètement. En avant, en arrière, sur les côtés. Vous êtes une autre personne. Les mères de famille, les enfants, peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant. Dans quelques mois, lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps, vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.